text this morning is in 1 John chapter 3, a single verse, verse 1. This verse is a statement concerning the love of God. I don't know how much you think about the love of God, but the love of God is the wellspring and fountain of all things. All things concerning the redemption of God's elect. If you trace it back, go back through the eons, go back through eternity, go back as far as the Word of God gives us revelation. And when you get there, you'll find the love of God. It's the fountainhead. It's the source of everything concerning the redemption of God's elect. And we're assured of that time and again throughout the scriptures. He tells us in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." When establishing his divine election of grace, he made this statement toward Rebekah's two unborn sons. "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." And this he said, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Of the death of his only begotten Son, he made this statement: "God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Of the source and knowledge of true love, he said, "Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And of the results of his love, John said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, and he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And of its perfection, as it's found in himself and required in us, he said, "God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame." And here's the third thing: before him in love. Sitting next to the Father is my representative. That one whose very nature, whose very glory has been given to us. And we sit in him before the Father in love. Perfect love before the Father. The message this morning is this: the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. 1 John 3 verse 1. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." This word "behold" is a word of wonder. These men had seen wonders. This man who writes this verse, I want you to think about the wonders. He was on the mount. He tells us that at the beginning of this very letter. He was on the mount with two other disciples and saw the Lord transfigured before his eyes. What a wonder. I tell you how wonderful it was. They wanted to build monuments up there. What a wonder. This is a man who knew wonders, who's writing this verse. Miracles and wonders, wonders such as this world has never seen. They saw lepers cleansed right before their eyes. They saw the lame walk, the blind see, the dead raised up. A word from him and the devils took flight. A word from him and the waves on that sea laid down and the wind stopped blowing. Never a man spake like this man. They had seen wonders. Wonders were an everyday occurrence to these blessed men who walked with the Son of God. But here's a wonder which men who knew wonders wondered about. Behold, he said, pause and wonder, stand in amazement, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. The hymn writer said, oh, the love of Christ to sinners, who can make its wonders known? Sin-born slaves through grace are pardoned and sit with him upon his throne. John was so awed by the love of Christ that he never used his own name again in his writings when he referred to himself. You know how he described himself? That disciple whom the Lord loved. Huh? He was so awed by the wonder of God's love for him that he never got over it. Never got over it. And this, my friend, is the wonder of it all. Christ loved me. Can you say that? Can you say that? Christ loved even the chief of sinners. The sentiments of this world, they don't know us because they don't know him. And if I want to keep it in the context of this, they're saying that they didn't understand the true love of God in him and they don't see it in you. They don't see it in you. The sentiments of this world is a little smiley face on a bumper sticker saying, smile, God loves you. Where's the wonder in that? Where is the wonder in a love that refuses to help the helpless, heal the sick, or save the lost? Where's the wonder of the love that has no will to do that which is in his power to do? That's not the love of God. That's not the love of God. If God loves a man, if he ever loved him, he always will. He always will. How do I know that? Because every good, perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. His love doesn't change. It doesn't change. That's not the love of God. Let me give you five things this morning that sum up the manner of God's love for chosen sinners. Now, love in and of itself is a magnificent thing. And it's a thing worthy to be studied and considered, but here John's focusing on the manner of God's love. He said, behold, stand in amazement, pause and consider, stand in amazement of this, the manner in which God has loved us. What he's saying is, what is the word manner? What's he talking about? He's talking about what kind. What kind of love? I know what this world calls love. It's not effectual. It's not sovereign. It's not merciful. The love they talk about is temporary. The love they talk about is a passion. But it doesn't even have a, it's not even relative to this love. It's nothing like the love of God. And that's what he's saying. So let me ask this question. What kind of love has the Father bestowed upon us? What is this manner? What manner did he love you with? What kind of love? Well, here's the first thing. It's sovereign love. It comes from the Father. Isn't that what John said? Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Who's the Father? He's every whit God. He's the source of all things. Whenever it talks about Christ, it talks about him being the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 9, to establish God's sovereign election of grace, he singled out these two boys and he said to the one, he loved him. He did this before there's ever born or either one having done any good or evil. Jacob have I loved. Jacob, have I loved? He loved him before he was a seed in his mother's womb. He loved him. And he said, the elder's going to serve the younger because it's written, Jacob, have I loved? Jacob, have I loved? You know, this world serves the church of the living God. They provide jobs for them. They provide police protection for them, the government protection with its armies and so on. This whole world serves God's elect. Isn't that what Paul said? He said, you're over here quibbling about which preacher you heard. He said, don't you know the world is yours? Don't you understand that? It serves the church. Everything in it. As soon as his church is taken out of this world, it's without use. And he's going to burn it to a cinder. Its only use is for the church. It serves the church. Why? God loved them. Isn't that what he's saying here? The elder's going to serve the younger because it's written, Jacob have I loved. Esau, thy hate. God's love flows from his eternal being, and while he is love in its truest sense, he's also sovereign and holy and just, so that love is sovereign love. Sovereign love. God's love is the love of a sovereign. He didn't love us because he had to, but because he wanted to. If I can use those terms. If my friends, man, he despises the doctrine of election. He despises the doctrine of particular love, of sovereign love, because they see themselves and those around them worthy of the love of God. How could God not love everybody? Even the statement of God loving a few and not all is absurd in the eyes of this world. And the problem's twofold. Here's the problem. This is why men think this way. Their assessment of man is too high, and their assessment of God is too low. That's why. They see man crippled but not paralyzed, wounded but not dead, one who has sinned, not sin itself. Man has nothing in him to attract the love of God. It says at his best state, he's altogether vanity. Altogether as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses, all those things which men use to recommend themselves to God, he calls them filthy rags. The only reason you can find in the Bible for the love of God toward sinners is because he would. Read it. Read it. I've been reading it for years. I've never found any other reason in the Bible for God to love sinners. And his love goes clear back. His love, you remember what I said at the beginning, it's the wellspring. It's where all these other things come from. And if you trace it back, the only reason you can find for God to love a sinner is because according to the good pleasure of his will. That's it. That's it, because he would. God's love is sovereign. Secondly, and you think about this. I want you to apply that self to yourself here this morning if you're a believer. You think about what you are by nature and what you've done in your past and what you're doing right now at the present. And think about your inabilities and your imperfections. Think about what you are in the scope of everything that's going on. And God, He loved you. And in this love, He took you and raised you above the angels. He took not on Him the seed of angels, but the seed of Abraham. He didn't become an angel when He came down here. He became a man. Think about the love and how He's taken this sinner out of the dregs of the barrel and raised him up together with Christ and seated him in the heavenlies. Seated with him. Put crowns on your head. My soul. I can't imagine. I just can't imagine. And I think even the redeemed in glory understand that. They understand that. That crown on their head belongs to him, because it says they took their crowns off and threw them down to his feet. Sovereign love. A God who's sovereign, who could love anybody or anything, loved me. That's amazing. That's a wonder. That's a wonder. Secondly, God's love is particular. To me, universal love is the most ridiculous doctrine ever put over on man. It is. It's a ridiculous, totally ridiculous doctrine. There is no kind of love that you've ever experienced in this world even to even hint of such a doctrine. Creature love is particular. Did you know that? Human love, creature love, they're both particular love. I'll never forget this man telling Henry, he said, "Oh, Brother Mahan," he said, "I just believe God loves everybody." He said, "Go home and try to sell that to your wife. Just go home and tell her, 'Honey, I love you just like all the other women in this world.' You tell her that. See if she buys it. She ain't buying it, and you shouldn't be buying it either." Husbands, love your wives. Now listen, even as Christ loved the church. How did he love them? In particular. In particular. Nobody else in this world blessed with all these heavenly blessings except those he chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. Universal love is a lie made up of the spirit of Antichrist to deceive ungodly rebels into believing themselves to be worthy of the love of God. And universal love is at the wellspring of all false doctrine. Let them talk. See if I'm not telling you the truth. Sit there and listen to them. Don't interrupt them. Let them talk to you. Here's what's going to come back to: God loves everybody. That's where it's going. That's where it's headed. Universal love is at the wellspring of all false doctrine, and therefore their ministry is likened in the scripture unto a whorish woman. She's ready and willing to sell her love to anybody willing to buy it. She's active in the streets, loud and stubborn. She's looking for her prey and kisses them with an impudent face, unmodest, shameless, saucy face. She lies to this world, telling them, she said, I've been looking for you. Huh? Can't you imagine some old prostitute on the corner and this young fella comes by that don't know up from down, and she lures him over there and she said, I've been looking for you. Huh? And he swallows it hook, line, and sinker, don't he? Then she invites him into her house. Oh, it's a sight to behold, filled with tapestries and carved works and fine linen. And the perfume fills your nose. It reeks of aloes and myrrh and cinnamon. And this is what she whispers in his ears. Come, let us have our fill of love. Let's satisfy ourselves with loves. And with her much fair speech, she causes him to yield. And with flattering lips, she forces him. And Solomon said, her house is the way to hell. Universal love is the love of the harlot church. It satisfies for a time and then comes reality. In the light of those things, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon you, that you should be called the sons of God. What manner did he bestow? He bestowed a sovereign love freely of himself, freely by his grace. And he bestowed a particular love. Paul said he loved us and gave himself for us. See the wonder of it. Oh, my soul. God set his love on you. He bypassed the wise and prudent and loved you. Now listen to this. Here's the third thing about the manner of God's love for us. His love is a merciful love. Often when the word love is used, it's used in conjunction with his death as our substitute. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us. Herein is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us, gave himself for us. Who loved me, gave himself for me. And then listen to this one over in Ephesians 2:4. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, quickened us together with Christ, raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The love of God is merciful love. When God revealed his glory to Moses, he revealed himself as keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. It's by way of this merciful love that Christ was appointed our covenant head. And our surety, our substitute. God's love is merciful love, and it gives, it appoints, it arranges, and it does. The second book in the Minor Prophets is a book worth reading. The book of Hosea. And he told Hosea, he said, you go marry a prostitute. That's what he told his prophet. And he did. And he loved her. He loved her. But she continued on in her prostitution until she was no longer appealing, no longer a profitable thing. And then she was sold into bondage. And they took that old prostitute, her beauty faded, dressed now in rags, and they put her on the auction block, and her husband went down there and bought her. Bought her. Not because she was beautiful or valuable or any such thing, but out of merciful love. Huh? And when he did, then he told her, he said, let me tell you something.
That wasn't your lovers that left the oil and the wine outside your door. It's me. All those years you praising your lovers, wasn't your lovers, it was me. It was me. And God said, this is the story of his Israel. Not a day in the life of God's elect that provision is not laid at their door. Not a day when the faithful husband does not oversee your condition and provide for her care. That's prevenient grace. That's grace before grace. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. This merciful love. Merciful love. And this is a faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Can you vision the Father running out to the prodigal? Still smelled of the hog pen. He didn't wash. And neither will you when you come to Christ. When he draws you, you won't wash. You come just like you are. You'll crawl right out of the hog pen and come to him. Just like you are. Stinking and smelling like the hog. Got the husk still hanging out of the side of your mouth where you ate it. You'll confess yourself and take your place exactly for what you are. And the most amazing thing to you, and we all have done it in our profession, we all think, well, you know, if the Lord will have mercy on me, I'm just, you know, I'll just be satisfied just to be a fly on the wall. I'll just sit in the back of the church and I'll be a dog and wait on the crumbs to fall on the ground. And all that's good and well. But let me tell you something. When that was all in the mind of the prodigal when he went to meet his father. But when he got there, it was a different story. The father ran to him. He ran out to meet him. He'd already made preparations for his coming. He had the calf already in the stall, fed up. And here he was going to take his place with the servants. He came out and put the master's ring on his finger, the royal seal. He came out and took the best robe. Here's this man standing there in the hog wall, and put the robe on him. Huh? That's merciful love. You see where John's coming from? I don't have to put you there. Put yourself there. Those of you who know God, who know Christ, who know something about the salvation of God, you put yourself there and think about what love this is, what a wonder it is. Merciful love. And then fourthly, here's something else that defines the divine wonder of this love. It's effectual. I read it to you a while ago. Love never faileth. Never faileth. If you have a love that gives up, it's not the love of God. His love don't give up. His love never fails. Listen to these blessed scriptures over in Romans chapter 8. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who's going to separate you from that love? Tribulation? That is trouble. Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? For his sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For, Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, that is, the highest authority that there is, nor depth, the lowest demon out of hell, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Behold the grand and glorious manner of God's effectual love. God's love for us spared not his own son. Next time you feel like blaming God for not giving you something, or you're just sitting there and you're saying, well, I don't think God would do that for me. You think about this. He spared not his own son. And he's not going to withhold anything. If he won't withhold his son, I guarantee you he won't withhold anything. And then think about this. That perfect love casteth out all fear. All fear. All right, here's the fifth thing. God's love is sacrificial love. Love manifests itself in giving, and therefore Paul gave it the name charity. Charity. Charity is active love. That's what that word means. Active love. It's not just love, and it's not just giving. It's active love. God's love is active. And it gives. Love gives until there's nothing left to give. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. And picture our Lord hanging on the cross, a bloody, swollen mess. He was still giving. Still giving. Gave to the thief. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. John, you come over here. That disciple whom the Lord loved, he said, you come over here. Called his mother over there and he said, Mother, this is your son. Son, this is your mother. You take care of her. Take care. Just gave and gave and gave until his last breath. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And I'll tell you this. Once you've given yourself, everything else goes with it. All the rest of it goes with it. God's love is sacrificial love. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for them. No wonder John said, be hopeful. Be hopeful. This kind of love, when manifested, removes all doubt and fears. 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Now just hold your place there and let me ask you a few questions. How did this man John come to know and believe that God loved him? He said he did. I just read the verse to you. How did he come to know that? How did he come to know that? He came to know it and believe it through the manifestation of Christ. Hereby perceive we the love of God, 1 John 3:16, because he laid down his life for us. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Yes, but how did he know God loved him? 1 John 4:13, hereby know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he's given us of his Spirit. The revelation of Christ is not made effectual in the hearts of all men, but in the hearts of those he loves. It's made effectual in their hearts because he loves them and sent his Son to redeem them, and now sends his Spirit to regenerate them and call them and give them the power to become sons of God. In 1 John 4:15 it says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. We know and see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We know it and perceive it as it's demonstrated to us through the preaching of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. We know these things. We understand these things. And understanding these things is how we come to know that he loves us. Because nobody that he doesn't love is given that understanding. And the man who knows nothing of redeeming, justifying, sanctifying this work of God in Christ
cannot enter into any experiential knowledge of the love of God, because that's where it's shown. That's where it's made known. All right, now watch this. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. This is how the believer perceives the redemptive work of Christ. Christ, his representative, his federal head, his covenant surety. Our love for him is a reflection of his love for us. Just like that moon. You go out a night not too long ago. I went out and there's that big old full moon. It just lit the whole backyard up. Moon doesn't have any light. It doesn't have any light. All that light comes from the day star. And it shines on that moon, and that light of that moon lights up the night. That's God's love in us. That light, he shines that light in you, and that light reflects before the whole world. We love him because he first loved us. What is the wonder of it all? The wonder of it all is that the sovereign, eternal, merciful God of glory could love such a worm as me. That's what John's saying. That's what he sees. He was awed by it, mesmerized by it. He saw it in its true light, and though this world couldn't understand a thing that he was saying about it, yet it so moved him, and he said, every man that has this hope in him, he'll purify himself even as he's pure. It has a sanctifying effect on a man when he understands something about the love of God. So much so that Paul said, the love of God, he said, is what constrains us. I know the law restrains this church world today, but it doesn't the believer. The love of God constrains him, because he sees that majesty and wonder in that love. God help us to see it.